From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of January, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll hear again from Andre Sisoff from Sova Econ. He's the managing director there. I spoke with him at length yesterday, and you can hear the whole of that program. Look for the special edition of Commodity Week. You'll have to scroll down the page and look for Black Sea Grain as a player on willag.org. But today, we'll hear a portion of the interview as it relates to the export market for corn and how the nation of Ukraine, he thinks, is likely to become the number one exporter to China. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast too. That with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $6.16 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter for the afternoon. The May at $6.14, 3 and a quarter higher. In December, up 3 cents at $5.65 and a quarter. The March soybeans, $14.14 and a quarter, down 11 and a half. November at $13.16 and a quarter, down 4. Bean meal, $8.10 lower, settled at $3.92.70. The bean oil at $63 even. Up 12 cents. Wheat futures down 10 and a quarter in the lead March. That's for the soft red at $7.80. The hard red at $7.93 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby at $142.10, $1.07 and a half lower. The feeder cattle at $163.30 for 100 pounds, down $1.65. And lean hogs, $94.95. up 95 cents for the afternoon. Crude oil futures at $85.09, down 47 cents. Diesel fuel about 0.7 cents lower at $2.63 and 0.5 cents. And gasoline, a penny and 0.9 cents lower at $2.44 and 0.6. Mike Zuzula, GlobalComResearch.com, now joins us on this Friday to take a look at the trade in Chicago. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Great to be with you, Todd. Happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday. Different trade today than it was yesterday. Kind of the opposite, though, in a less volatile manner, I guess. What do you think of it?
Yeah, a couple things that came out and struck me, Todd, is kind of the issues that we dealt with on Thursday of the farm futures acreage survey, I think played a bigger role, and I expected that to be the case because they were pretty important numbers with a lot bigger bean acres, a lot smaller corn acres. And so we saw a reversal in the bean corn spread trading. They reversed buying beans, selling corn, and came in and bought the corn back and sold the beans off. The nearby bean corn ratio lost about 1.7% on Friday. The November bean dease corn ratio lost just under 1%. So would not be surprised unless some new lower estimate came out of South America next week. Wouldn't be surprised if that bean corn spread continued to maybe unwind as we got into the end of the month, especially with Argentina's weather and northern Brazil's weather still more of a question mark. And that's really corn country, second crop corn in Mato Grosso and Pampas corn in Argentina. The second thing that struck me was the trade, I thought, maybe came in with a little more risk off attitude Friday, led by the crude oil, led by a firmer dollar, led by a weakened equities markets. And if you looked at a heat map, a lot of commodities and assets were down. I'm wondering whether this U.S., Russia, Ukraine situation, this geopolitical situation is not moving more towards a standoff. And I had read one article today where Iran and China are involved in this as well. Give you an example, Newsweek came out and said Biden's prepared to meet with Putin. About an hour later, The Economist came out and said momentum's building for war in Ukraine, so why wouldn't bulls take some positions off the books if they had some potential profits?
Yeah, so yesterday during our Commodity Week program, and we'll hear that over the weekend on some of these radio stations on our home station this afternoon online at willag.org, looked into your crystal ball and said, after the release of those numbers from Farm Futures, that you thought things would change today, and they did in the way you expected. I'm wondering if you can look back into that crystal ball a bit more and whether you think the market will continue as it has today, which you said it would, but to drift lower or to consolidate and build higher for the end of the month?
Yeah, this is going to be, I have to say, Todd, that's probably the most important question of the next 45 days as we get into really sinking our teeth into what our February base price is for crop insurance. So that really gets elevated after next week in terms of a priority and an important level. And to answer your question very directly, the crystal ball is called analysis for me, and the wheat market is center and the focus for me at this point, because 16 days out, we see no rain on the models for the hard red wheat belt. Friday, we saw the hard red wheat jump against the soft red wheat. I think that's just the beginning, because hard red got all the way down to about 7 cents premium when we were talking Thursday on Commodity Week. We're going to close Friday at about 13 cents premium. I could see that going 30, 40, even maybe 50 cents premium in the hard red wheat minus soft red because of this weather. If that's the case, I would think wheat would be a supportive feature of the corn, and the beans would be contained in terms of bearish positions building. So that's what I'm hopeful for. But as we talked about in Commodity Week, I'm really eager to maybe do some cereal options in new crop soybeans to protect my base price, just looking out 35 days and not really that much farther, so that I don't have to worry about a 60 or 80 cent slide in November beans. And that ends up being my base price instead of what we have Friday at, you know, just under 1320.
How cheap can you do that?
You know, this $13 Novi cereal, and this is big picture stuff, because compliance wants me to really talk one-on-one with people when you ask specific questions like that. But there's some puts out there in the March contract that are based off November. You can get done under 20 cents depending on your commissions and costs. But that's probably a place to start talking.
Yeah, so you're talking about protecting 60 cents in that case, relatively speaking, minus the 20 that you put into it. So worth looking at. What else are we talking?
Pardon me, but not only that, but if I'm wrong on that strategy, then I got to think Dees Corn's going to be adding to its premium for the base price for February. And that's even just as important given the yields we're looking at.
You know, what else are we watching on the economic side, whether it's macroeconomics or just within the commodities, generally speaking, livestock, other things?
Yeah, cattle on feed is going to be a big deal. We talked about this on Commodity Week very briefly. The cattle on feed report, the placements numbers, really going to set us up on this drought, I think, Todd. So we really want to be on our game on that, because feed costs could be, and hay costs, pasture, range issues could be some of the biggest pitfalls that we face as cattle ranchers this year if this drought continues. The other thing was the central bank in China once again cut their lending rate, and they're really gigging and priming their economy. I want to see if the market comes back next week and wants to pick that up and wants to bring in more commodity index buying. That's going to be an important part as well.
You know, I meant to ask this during Commodity Week, and it slipped my mind after I thought about it, but China did ask the United States, or urged it, not to raise interest rates in the last week and a half, if I remember correctly. So clearly they are on the opposite side of where the Federal Reserve is at this point.
Excellent point. And they did that at the World Economic Forum, the biggest place with the biggest microphone in terms of getting the word out. So I think that's an extremely valuable piece of the puzzle, because those Chinese equities markets have been battered badly because of the COVID policy and because of the property issues. That may be a buy, though, to the market, because the rest of the emerging markets did fairly well when it came to their economic growth in 2021. So really, more and more hinges on China as far as our commodity trends in 2022.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
That is Mike Zuzulow. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Yesterday, I recorded a special interview that you can find online now as a Commodity Week program at willag.org. You'll need to scroll down the page and you'll find a special link to a Black Sea Grain Commodity Week with Andre Sisoff. He is the managing director for Sove Econ, and you can find more from him online, of course, at sisoff.report. That's the whole address, Sisoff, S-I-Z-O-V. .report, but you can also hear it online at willag.org, and we'll hear a portion of the interview this afternoon, as we did on Thursday of this week, and again will on Monday of next week. Today we'll take up the export picture from the Black Sea area, particularly of corn from Ukraine, some wheat from Russia, and how that moves towards China. I asked Andre to explain what he sees as the current export picture for corn.
China is a very important buyer of Ukrainian corn. And let me remind your listeners that prior to the previous season, Ukraine has been the biggest supplier of corn to China. It changed last season, but I don't think that for a long time. Ukraine sells all its corn and some other crops to China, not via rail. It's a very long way, but via the Black Sea. Russia also sells some grain, mainly wheat, some soybeans. That's done via rail or trucks, but that's just negligible volume. Ukrainian corn exports to China are pretty big. Last season, they sold around 8 million tons to China out of 30 million tons total imports. This season, Ukraine has way more corn to export because of a record high crop, around 42 million tons. We see that U.S. corn exports to China are relatively weak. And this is because, I guess, that China is booking Ukrainian corn quite aggressively, which is kind of below of market radar because no system to report that. They don't have a system similar to U.S. Corn sales. But in reality, I won't be surprised that already this season, Ukraine would become number one corn exporter to China, pushing the U.S. to second place.
Interesting. On the world market, how do you see that evolving as it relates to price, the United States for the Safrina crop out of Brazil?
You mean corn price? If you look at grains globally and corn specifically, so we have a few big stories around. So one, we've talked about that, but it's more relevant for wheat, but it's everything is related to wheat and corn markets. We typically look at them combined. So that story, Russia-West tensions is one story, could be over, but not very soon. Another very important story is whole Chinese demand. So probably last season, the biggest story for global grain market and corn market was increase in Chinese demand. So for this season, there is a big question mark over the demand. We see relatively weak soybean inputs. We see relatively weak corn inputs. We see a huge record high crop in Ukraine, which could be the biggest supply of corn to China this season. And this implies that there is, and also, of course, Brazil and South America. And this implies there is competition in the Chinese corn market is becoming very tough. And that is definitely not good news for the U.S. Corn farmers. In previous few weeks, probably, as you know, another big story for corn market specifically was the weather in South America. Argentina has been very dry. Southern Brazil has been very dry. But now things have improved substantially for Argentina, and more rains are in the forecast for Argentina. And for Brazil, yes, there's some damage has been done to the southern corn. But just a reminder, the major part of Brazilian corn and major part of Brazilian corn, which is being exported, is produced second. It's a second corn, Safrinha corn crop. So far outlook for second corn crop, which is more important, looks okay. So with all that, all those pieces, if we put that all together, good Ukrainian crop, a big question mark over Chinese demand, improving outlook for Southern American corn crop, I think corn prices are likely to be under pressure during next weeks or perhaps a longer period of time.
Again, that's Andre Sizov. He is the managing director of Sove Econ, spoke to me by Skype. from Spain yesterday, and you can hear more from him on our website at willag.org. There's a special edition of Commodity Week where I took the whole 21 minutes of the interview and put it together for you. You can listen online. Otherwise, you'll hear another piece of his interview on Monday. We'll take up his expectations for new crop outlook pricing. But you can listen to that beforehand. If you'd like, you can find it again right now at willag.org. Now, up next, let's talk about the weather forecast in Brazil, Argentina, and the United States. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Well, let's start here in the United States today. I'd like to know what the January weather was like and what kind of conditions you expect soon.
Yeah, you know, after December's warmth, January's finally come in cold. But the problem is that colds come out of the northwest, and wind that come out of the northwest in the jet stream, convergent in the upper levels of the atmosphere. And what that means is it's been dry, and once again, we still find ourselves in what I'm calling the great snow hole of Illinois and Indiana, here in the central part of Illinois, where we just have yet to get a good system to roll through. And the near-term forecast has got some more chilly air in place, and it's also got drier conditions. Even though we might get a couple of clippers that come through, they're not going to be bringing in any kind of decent snow that my kids would appreciate, at least.
February is not that far off, and then the springtime, what do you expect?
So this story kind of starts in February with a bit of a pattern shift. We're going to see a much more active storm track in the Tennessee Valley, out of the Mid-South, and getting into the Eastern Corn Belt. For us, this will look like a pretty active February moving forward with precipitation in our neck of the woods, finally. Now, we thought we would get that, remember, back in December, but everything in December seemed to go around us, or it was too warm when we got rain. Well, the shifts that are happening right now are starting to help that out. One is the La Nina that's fading. The second thing is the colder water that's still in the Gulf of Alaska. And the third thing is we do have, you know, a sizable and expanding drought in the western, in the plains. And that's the big story for spring. It appears that we will kind of split the country west-east on precipitation patterns in spring, wetter to the east and drier to the west. And most of the long-range models keep most spots around the Mississippi River in east with above average late winter, early spring precip, and they keep the southern plains especially drier. And that'll be a signal that we're going to have to talk about now for the next several months as we go into spring planting.
Turn your attention now to the southern hemisphere. We'll start in Argentina, where it had been very dry, though they've had some rainfall.
Yeah, they have. And it's been very wet in Argentina and Uruguay. And the front that finally moved over that area, knocking out all that triple-digit heat we saw in January, the major degradation of the drought and the crop quality. We're now seeing heavy rains, and here's the thing. Some of the latest observations added to the model forecast suggest that wetter weather is going to move into the drought-stricken parts of Paraguay and southern Brazil. And while northern Brazil's had a good dry stretch, which they've been doing a lot of harvesting, and now the planting of the safrinha crop, looks as though they're going to get a good drink of water here coming forward. So overall, when I look at South America, while some places will be getting too much rain, which could be a problem, the net effect of this shift in the pattern is a very positive one for production in South America. But we can't forget the damage that was already done to the crop before this, which that drought was extensive and historic at times.
Just for clarification, what are your expectations for the second crop?
Well, it looks as though as we go through February and into March, the monsoon will return to normal strength north. There could be some drier signals for Argentina, given that the La Nina is still present. But it appears, moving forward, that Brazil's going to have a decent second season for their crops.
Hey, thank you so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.